Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, I'm repeating the verse that's under discussion. Shriya Pushtya Gida Kantya Kirtya Tushtye Layor Jaya Vidyaya Vidyaya Shaktya Mayan Chanishevitam. The Supreme Lord was served by his Shakti, his internal energy, and his Maya, his external energy, in these 10 forms. Continuing paragraph 3. Tata durvasasa shapanashtaya trilokya lakshmiya avirbhavam sakshat bhagavat prayasi rupa swayam chiro dad avirbhuya drishtya tritavatiti shruyate. Thus we hear Thus we hear from scripture that the Lakshmi, who is directly the consort of the personality of Godhead, after manifesting herself from the ocean of milk, then manifested by her glance, the Lakshmi of the three worlds, who had been destroyed by the curse of Durvasa. Got that? Material Lakshmi was created from the glance of the Supreme Lakshmi, who appeared out of the ocean of milk. Okay. Evam apara api. The other energy should be understood as similar. Similar relationship between the spiritual and the material. Tatra ila bhus. Tadupa lakshana tvena lila api. Among them, Ila on the list is the goddess Earth, the original Bhu Devi, who is a form of Lakshmi. And the mention of her also implies the other energy called Lila. Tatra cha purvasya bedo tadvava bodha karanam. Samvidakyayas tadvitir vriti visheshaha. So the two of them, Ila and Lila. As a specific aspect of the first energy, that means the spiritual energy, this Ila is the cause of understanding reality as it is, a sub-function of the spiritual energy's samvit capacity. Okay, we know about samvit, sladini, sandini. So samvit, there are three basic kinds of energies. Yeah. And samvit has a subdivision called ila, the cause of understanding reality as it is. Uttarasya bedas tasya eva vidyaya prakashadwaram. As an aspect of the second energy, as an aspect of the material energy, Ila is the means of making her function of wisdom appear. The material energy has two functions, vidya and avidya. So wisdom, material wisdom, appears in the form of illa, the material illa. Avidya lakshano But Vidya and Avidya are also on the list separately.
So there's a difference.
Ila is one thing, Vidya per se is something else. Let's see what. Avidya lakshano beda purvasya bhagavati vibhutvadi vismiti hetur matribhavadi maya premananda vritti visheshaha. Okay, what about avidya? What is avidya as an aspect of the spiritual energy? What's the spiritual avidya? Spiritual ignorance. What is termed avidya is as an aspect of the first energy, spiritual energy. It's the cause of forgetting such qualities of the personality of Godhead as his all-pervasiveness. She is a special function of the maternal affection and other loving ecstasies. This is Yogamaya, basically. And he says that, that power of making one forget is a function of the rasas, such as parental affection. Ata eva gopi jana vidya kala prerakaha iti tapanyam shutau. Thus the words are spoken in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad. The inspirer of different varieties of ignorance among the cowherd girls. Yatava saram etadapi vivaraniyam. We will also explain this later where appropriate. So we'll be talking about the spiritual avidya acting on the gopis, but not yet. That will come later in the Priti Sandarbha. I think. Uttarasya sabeda samsarinam swarupa vismriti adihetur avaranatmika vritti visheshaha. So the avidya as an aspect of the material energy. Avidya as an aspect of the second energy. Avidya is the cause of the conditioned souls forgetting their true identities and of their other failings. She's the cause of their various failings. She is a particular function of the covering potency, avaranatmaka shakti. So avidya, in the material sense, is an expansion of the avaranatmaka power of maya. Covering power. Covering how? By ignorance, especially. By misunderstanding. And then continuing. Chakararat purvasya sandini samvit pladini bhaktiyadara shakti murti vimala jaya yoga prakvishana anugrahadayas chageya. By the word and, vidya vidyaya cha, by that word and, can all, and that implies more on the list, can also be understood, by that word and, can also be understood the aspects of the first energy known as sandini, samvit, kladini, bhakti, adara shakti, murti, vimala, jaya, yoga, prakvi, ishana, anugraha, and others. All these energies are not mentioned, but they're implied by the word and. These are spiritual energies. Now, I have a slight mistake here. I spelled some bit with an underscore in one place and without it in the next place. So let me look back here. What do we do here? Some bit should get... let's give it an underscore. So I add the underscore the second time around. The M before a V, I guess, can stay without turning into an underscore. Either way, so we'll take the underscore. But I have it both, I have two different ways in the same verse, that's not good. Okay, Finishing up here. Okay, now what are these extra energies? Can we identify them? Atra sandini eva satya, jayai vodkarshani, yogaiva yogamaya, samvid eva gyan agyana shakti, shuddha sattvam cheti gyayam. So, these can be distinguished as follows. Sandini, we know about sandini from the Vishnu Bhakti, has three potencies. Sandini is what's called satya in the list of partial expansions of Lakshmi. Jaya is the same as Utkarshani. Yoga is Yogamaya. And Samvit is the energy of knowledge and ignorance, and she is also the mode of pure goodness. Okay, she's all three of those things. And then last is Prakwi, or two more. Prakwi, Vichitrananta Samartya Hetu, Ishana Sarv Adhikarita Shakti Hetur Iti Vedaha. Prakwi is the cause of the Lord's infinite varieties of capability. And Ishana is the source of his power of absolute authority. So we have all these, we had 10 in the verse, and now we're being given another 10, I think. So about 20 energies altogether, expansions of Lakshmi. Each of them has a specific function. Commentary. It is always the dynamics of creative evolution that inferior derives from superior. From the first Shakti, Srimati Radharani, appear her companions, the principal gopis, in the original abode of Sri Krishna. In the derivative abode of Vaikuntha, the original Shakti appears again as Lakshmi, and the divine energies who are her partial aspects. And in the limited realm of matter, she expands into Maya and her aspects. The inert energies presided over by Maya also evolve from superior to inferior. The word avidya is understood as meaning ignorance and illusion. But in the domain of prema, the transcendental form of avidya, namely Yogamaya, exerts her influence. Thus the inhabitants of Raja love Krishna so intimately that they forget he is God. The best lovers of Krishna, the young gopis, are put by Yogamaya into the most exquisite delusions of prema vivarta. The Gopalatapani Upanishad's description of Yogamaya as gopi jana vidya kala preraka will be discussed more fully in text 186 of Sri Krishna Sandarbha. Do you have that? Okay. Let me check one thing. I want to make a note. I want to check that Krishna Sandarbha 186 actually talks about Yogamaya. I say that, but maybe it's not right. Okay. The topic verse of the current Anuchet, this is 98, beginning with the word Shriya Pushtya, depicts Akrura's vision in the Brahmakunda at the outer border of Raja, where, as Akrura was just about to take Krishna and Balaram outside of Raja, the two transformed into Vasudeva and Sankarsana. Krishna as the Lord of Vaikuntha, resting on Balaram as Anantashesh, with their major energies in formal attendance. Krishna is Vasudeva, and then Balaram is Sankarsana. And then they appear in their Vaikuntha forms. Vasudeva is the Lord of Vaikuntha. Sankarsana expands it to Anantashesha. So Balaram is Anantashesha. That's what Kura saw in the lake. Any comments?
I have a question. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, But it looks like that he's not doing it directly. Like we have this avidya shakti, which makes divinity forget about Krishna's relationships.
Well, Krishna does it. Everything Krishna does, he does through his energies. His energies are his agents. Not only that, but anything Krishna does, everything Krishna does, his energies are doing it for him. It's not a contradiction. He says it comes from me, it comes from him, but it comes from him through his yogamaya and his vidya energies.
It's a small comment about previous Nishida. You asked us to research about Jiva Goswami's commentary, what he's speaking about in Krama Sandarbha. Is he speaking about material Lakshmi or spiritual Lakshmi? So in all this quotation, he speaks about material Lakshmi. Material
energy.
Yeah.
And here he's talking about Sri as material opulence, right? That's consistent. Jiva Goswami is being consistent with himself. He's doing the same thing here, right? Don't remember. I see. It was a question of who's Mahalakshmi, right?
We had a question in like we had few quotations from different parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, like. One of them was Svayava Dikshne Vitarasya Kim Taya.
I don't consider even Sri to be greater than
the
devotee.
Na Shri Viraktam Apimam. Like right. I'm.
And in every case, Jiva Goswami means that his material energy is. That's his material Sri.
Yeah.
As he also says here, right? Mm-hmm. So that's consistently Jiva Goswami's reading of it. Some other commentator may say otherwise.
Значит, he also speaks in the same way.
Same way. Okay, so looks like it's a consensus of our Sampradaya that it's talking about material Sri that's not dear to him, like his devotees are. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Guruji, here it is said that
commentary would explain the story, but I don't have anything here.
But she does not know this.
Well, I don't know. Is this the story from the Bhagavatam? She came, she appeared, and immediately they arranged for her Swayamvara ceremony, and she was glancing around at all the suitors, everybody who wanted to marry her. I guess from her looking around at everybody, material energy came and everybody became lusty after the material energy. Something like that. I mean, had all these demigods who wanted Lakshmi as their wife. So she didn't give herself to any one of them. Instead, she expanded herself as the material Lakshmi, and they could take that material Lakshmi. It seems like that's what's going on.
Also, this general expansion happens maybe from Krishna or from Radharani, the gopis came. So how that happens? Is that happen also because of glance or?
Not necessarily, no. It just happens. Okay. There may be a pastime that there's a glance involved, but not necessarily. Especially since the spiritual expansions are eternal. They don't happen at a certain time, you know, and where they weren't there before that. That expansion was eternally there. So there is no real event of creation, of expanding. The expanding is eternal. If there's a pastime that, you know, somebody glances and something happens, that's just a lila. Actually, the expansion is eternal.
also like it's something wonderful that this material world, material energy is glance of spiritual energy, and the material world is glance of Krishna on material
energy.
In
this case, it's not a, that's a rule the way expansions always have to happen. Just in this case, this is what happened. Maharshi? One reason is that Krishna wants that variety. He wants devotees to worship him in different moods. He doesn't want all the devotees to be the same. He enjoys the Vaikuntha mood also. Otherwise, he doesn't have to have a Vaikuntha. But another side, from the other point of view, there are many devotees who want Krishna to be Narayana. So he appears to fulfill their desires. And they live in Vaikuntha. It has to do basically with what Krishna wants and what the devotees want. And you say that everybody should and wants to experience the highest pleasure. That doesn't mean that everybody has to become a gopi. Every individual will experience the highest pleasure by attaining his own sarupa, becoming what he naturally is. And it's not to be measured in the material way that if it's not the best thing, it's not good enough. In the spiritual world, it doesn't matter. Whatever you are is the best thing for you. You're fully satisfied. There's no cheating, there's no disappointment, there's nothing lacking. Nobody's missing anything. No matter what they are. Whether the lowest rasa or the highest. Could you go see who it is? Oh yeah, but it says here at the beginning of the paragraph that she's appearing after she got cursed, destroyed by the curse. She's reappearing after that. She's coming back again. Durvasasa Shapa Nashtaya Trilokya Lakshmiya. This is the beginning of the paragraph. That happened before. Anyway, the appearance of Lakshmi can happen over and over again. It can happen many times. I don't know the story, and unfortunately, I didn't even look at. I didn't bother to find it, so it's not in the commentary. If you want to, if you want to find it for me, then I'll write it into the commentary. I don't know. That I don't know. That's why I didn't try to find it, because I have no idea where it comes from. You'd have to look in the. We have indexes and a table of contents with the Puranas in the computer file. You can search for them for the name Durvasa and see what comes up. Yes?
This would be in connection with the Durvasa touching Indra and the.
It could be, maybe. That because the opulence of the world, maybe it's just the figurative destruction of Lakshmi in that sense. But there might be some other event that we're talking. There may be some other event where Lakshmi actually got killed.
Yes.
This last two lines of the translation, this mentions of energies, and they correspond to some personalities. Is it that...
Where does that say? I'm sorry, in the commentary? Commentary.
Translation.
Translation. Well, actually what we're doing here is giving alternate names. It's not that we're saying the impersonal is really a person. The persons have more than one name in different places. Different scriptures call them different names. So Jiva Goswami is matching the names up. Somebody may be familiar with a name from another scripture. So he's showing this one is the same as this one. Well, the sentence before that says aspects of the first energy, so those are spiritual. Because Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini are the names given to the spiritual potencies. Yogamaya is a spiritual energy, so these are actually all spiritual. Distinguished. Let's say identified, how about that? Can be identified as follows. That means, we're just matching up names. They're just saying that somebody is the same as the person called that, same person. Sandini is the same as Satya, Jaya is the same as Ukarshani. Is that okay? Different texts give different lists of names. But it's just that the same energy has more than one name. Maybe I mentioned that in the commentary. Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, he seems that the ones he lists in the cha, he says that they're aspects of the first energy. Yes, of the spiritual energy. Why? Actually, he says in the next paragraph, there are also additional expansions of the material energy. In the next paragraph, we haven't read yet. I think so. I think, similarly, the second energy's other aspects can be understood as appropriate. It's the first sentence of the next paragraph. So the material also has similar extra energies, ones that are not listed specifically in the 10th. But here, the 10 that are listed, he says they all exist in both forms. But the extra ones seem that, at least under those names, they only exist in one form, one or the other. They probably have counterparts, but the counterparts may have different names. The spiritual one may have a material counterpart, but it probably isn't given the same name. Yogamaya, we don't talk about a material Yogamaya and a spiritual Yogamaya. We usually talk about Yogamaya and then call the material one something else, like Mahamaya. Yeah. Yeah. But as far as the list of 10, he just says use the same names for both kinds of energies. That's what the verse says. But that's not just Vidya. All 10. The list of 10 that ends in Vidya and Avidya, they're the 9th and 10th. All 10 of them exist as both Shakti and as Maya.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah. That's how the translation reads. All right, let's try the next paragraph. Evam utarasyas cha yatayatam anya gyeyaha. Similarly, the second energies, the material energies, other aspects, aspects not listed among the ten, can be understood as appropriate. I think that means, as appropriate means you figure it out, I'm not going to bother. Right here. The Jiva Goswami doesn't want to bother with it. Tadevam api atra maya vritayo na vrivriyante bahiranga sevitvat. In the original verses, but even so, we will not elaborate on the functions of Maya here, since she performs her service in material existence. This is Bhagavat Sandarbha. It's supposed to be about the Supreme Lord and his transcendental nature. So we're not going to talk about the functions of material Maya here. It's not our topic. Mule 2. Sevamsha matra sadadanyena ganitaha. In the original verses, her aspects, that is, the aspects of material Maya, are included as sharing with the spiritual energies the common quality of being engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. Sevitam is the verb at the end. The Lord is served by his spiritual and material energies. So the verse indicates that all the material ones can have material counterparts. Both spiritual and material energies are serving the Lord. Just that we're not interested here in this Bhagavad Sandarbha talking too much about the material energies. It's not the focus of our discussion. Bahiranga sevatvam chatasya bhagavadamsha bhuta purushasya vidura vartita yashvitatvat. Maya serves externally. Material energy serves externally by taking shelter of the Purusha, who is a partial expansion of the personality of Godhead. She does this while remaining at a distance from him. Okay. Tatacha dashamasya saptatrimshe Sri Naradena Bhagavan Sri Krishna ev astavi. Thus in the 37th chapter of the 10th canto, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is praised by Sri Narada. And Narada tells Krishna, Vishuddha vijnana kadam swasamstaya samapta sarvartam amogavanchitam swatejasa nitya nivritta maya guna pravaham bhagavantam imahi twam ishvaram swashrayam atmamayaya vinirmitashesha vishesha kalpanam Pridartam abhyatamanushya vigraham natosmi duryam yaruvishni satvatam iti. Narada says, let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things. And by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. He stays far away from Maya. I bow down to you. She stays away from him. She's embarrassed. He stays away from her because she's material. I bow down to you, the Supreme Controller, who are dependent only on yourself. By your potency, You have constructed the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. This universe. Now you have appeared as the greatest hero among the Yadus, Vrishnis, and Satvatas, and have chosen to participate in human warfare. That's Narada talking to Krishna. Commentary, Srila Jiva will provide ample description of the Lord's material energy in the Sri Paramatma Sandarbha. There, it's more appropriate to talk about material energy. Paramatma is the Lord with his energies, especially the energies of the material creation. So that, we'll talk about Maya energies in the next Sandarbha. Especially in texts 48 through 59. From our viewpoint, Maya is our severe dominator. But from the Supreme Lord's viewpoint, she is another faithful servant, an expansion of his most faithful servant. Okay, questions, comments?
Sorry,
yes, but it's his avatar, Sambhavami Atmamaya. I don't, even when I come in this world, I don't consort with the material energy, I bring my spiritual energy with me. Sambhavami Atmamaya. I appear by my spiritual energy. And everything I do, and all the relationships I have are completely spiritual. Krishna descends to this world. He has, you know, personal relationships with all sorts of people. But those relationships, from his point of view, are all on the level of rasa, transcendental relation. Even though he relates with materialistic people, demons and others, they don't experience the rasa, but Krishna does. You know, when Krishna fights a demon, he's enjoying the chivalrous rasa and the other connected rasas. The demon, who has no Krishna consciousness, is not experiencing the rasa. So it's not mutual, but still, whatever Krishna does and whatever he feels and thinks, even while in the material world, is completely coming from his spiritual energy. It has nothing to do with the workings of the material energy. Well, that is Maya in her form of Prakriti, Pradhan. She has a pastime with Lord Mahavishnu. He glances at her. She stays at a great distance. He glances at her only once. And for the rest of the creation, he doesn't pay any attention to her. That's what's being talked about here, the specific Leela pastime that Prakriti has with Mahavishnu. But we can apply that also to the same relationship between Prakriti and Vishnu, Mahavishnu. Yeah, just like when Krishna appears in this world, in his avatar, wherever he is, there's no Maya. Just like if you turn on artificial light, then even though it's night, the darkness goes away. So even though Krishna is not a material energy, wherever Krishna is appearing, the material energy goes away. If he comes to a place, Maya will have to run away because you can't get close to him. Even when he descends into the material world. Wherever Krishna is, Maya doesn't have any jurisdiction.
This goddess of earth, Mother Earth, is she spiritual energy or material energy?
Original, there's original Bhu, who's one, Bhu and Leela are the first two expansions of Lakshmi.
First two.
When you have, you know, sometimes the Vishnu deities in the Sri Sampradaya, there are two goddesses of fortune there, Bhu and Sri. Bhu and Sri. So Bhu, the original Bhu, is spiritual energy. Her expansion is the actual goddess of the earth. But Lord Varaha accepts her as his consort. And you have Bhu Varaha, that's the material Bhu. So she becomes the wife of Lord Varaha.
So the Bhu in the spiritual world has nothing to do as earth?
Well, the earth goddess is her expansion. But the original Bhu is in the spiritual world, where there is no earth like we have here. Yeah, we understand Bhu as meaning earth. I mean, materialists think Bhu just means dirt. You know, the land, the ground, the planet. You have to have some spiritual vision to understand it's a goddess. And if you have full spiritual vision, you understand that the original Bhu has nothing to do with the element earth or the planet earth. She comes from the spiritual world. She's the consort of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. There's no dirt in Vaikuntha. Yeah, but I don't remember exactly what her function is. You know, I don't remember what the three different functions of Sri, Bhu, and Leela are. Maybe someone else knows. It doesn't stick in my mind. I'm sure Jiva Goswami says it somewhere. He mentioned Bhu here. What did he say about Bhu? Bhu was on the list, right? No, Bhu is not on the list. Okay. So, but somewhere else he does talk about them. Maybe in the Paramahamsa. I don't remember what's the jurisdiction of Bhu Devi, the spiritual Bhu. Yes.
In Sri Sampradaya they call Sri Bhu and Leela in Nan.
Yeah, Leela and Leela are actually alternative names.
Oh, okay. And they call Leela to be the in charge of something like butter, ghee, and all those things.
Okay, well, that's just a partial. Yeah. That's part of her farm. I'm sure she's not just in charge of butter and ghee. She has more in her portfolio, but besides just that.
And her incarnation is the Goda Devi or Andal.
She's Goda. Yeah.
She's like follows in the gopis' footsteps.
And who is Bhu?
Bhu is nothing mentioned. She is the consort of the Lord, that's all.
Okay. Okay. Okay, we can see how long is the next. Okay, we'll try the next paragraph. Oh, that was. Okay, Anayur Arta. These two verses spoken by Narada in the 37th chapter, the 10th canto. If you still remember what we said, what they were. Anyway, you're full of spiritual awareness. You're always situated in your original identity. You always remain aloof from the material energy, was the gist of those two verses. Now, Jiva Goswami explains the two verses. Anayor artaha vishuddham yad viganam paramatattvam tadeva ganaha shri vigraho yasya. The two verses say, we approach, because it's singular, it's actually Narada speaking, but he's just speaking figuratively, we approach for shelter that personality of Godhead who is perfectly pure consciousness, the supreme truth. That's the definition of Brahman. Satyam Gyanam Anantam, pure eternal consciousness. That Lord is perceivable. That means he has a transcendental body. If he's perceivable, there must be something you can perceive. must be something visible or perceivable by some sense, probably visual. So that means he has some kind of body. Gana, yeah. Well, gana is in the verse. Gana means condensed, thick. But that means concrete, not some abstraction, but something you can actually see. It's got form, it's got, you know, material qualities. It's got form, it takes up space, it has a weight, it has a color. That's gana. Or murta. Murta is another word that means the same thing. Murta also means thick, thickened. Concrete, physical. But not material, spiritually physical. Spiritually perceptible. Okay, continuing. Swasamstaya swarupa akarena swarupa shaktya va samyag apta iva apta nichisida purna va sarve arta aishvaryada yoyatra. All his purposes of sovereignty and so on. I translated arta as purposes. I guess that's okay. All his purposes of sovereignty, because you usually think of them as powers, but you can also think of them as purposes. You have a power to do something you want to do. You have a power to walk because you want to go somewhere. So there's a purpose behind walking. There's a purpose behind each of the opulences. So, because the word arta is there, which can have also the meaning purpose. All his purposes of sovereignty and so on, Aishwarya, are completely achieved. Well, why does he have to achieve them? Aren't they eternal? I achieve something when I don't have it and I have to work to get it. He doesn't have to work to get his opulences. So what does it mean they're completely achieved? Why achieved? He doesn't have to achieve anything. The answer is, that really means they seem to be achieved. But actually, they're eternally realized. Or alternatively, it means they're complete. This isn't a fancy way of saying that they're totally complete. And they're complete by his constitutional nature. Swarupa Shaktyaiva, by the form of his original identity, or alternatively, by his internal energy. Swarupa Shaktya, is it Swarupa Shaktya or? Sorry? Swarupa Karina, by the form of his Swarupa. Well, okay, the verse says Swasamstaya, by your own samsta, by your own. Facility, by your own samsta, it's a corporate, not a corporation, a firm, an outfit, you know, an organization, is a samsta. So by your own organization, which means two different possible meanings of a swasamsta. It either means in the form of, in your original personal form, or it means using your spiritual energies. Those are two possible meanings of swasamstaya. By that, by your innate nature, or through your spiritual energies, you've achieved all eternally perfect, complete perfections. You haven't really achieved them, but it just means you have them eternally. Therefore, ata eva navidyate ati tucha twad moge vittabhute. Okay, I'm sorry. We're out of time. We're going to stop here in the middle of the paragraph. We'll continue with this sentence tomorrow. Okay, so if you have any questions, hold them until we get to the end of the paragraph tomorrow. Let's stop it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijan.